Today we're celebrating the poet and writer Langston Hughes as we reflect on Black History Month. Langston Hughes was born 122 years ago in Joplin, Missouri, and he managed to make a living from writing alone at a time when few African Americans could do so. Hughes also earned a bit of money from poetry readings, and there's a 1957 recording of him at the University of Illinois that reveals both his work and his personality. Jim Meadows of Illinois Public Media reports.
It's very nice indeed to be back on your campus again. The last time that I read my poems here was at least 10 or 12 or, somebody said last night, 15 years ago.
That's Langston Hughes speaking at a lecture hall on the University of Illinois campus in 1957. A few years ago, Demetrius Rimkus, a reference archivist for the university, heard that this recording, made for broadcast on the university radio station, was in the university archives, but poor labeling made it hard to find. Eventually, though, she was able to track it down.
My racial and ethnic background is African American, and I'm familiar with Langston Hughes as far as the Harlem Renaissance, and I've read his poetry. I grew up with books of his poetry and reading it, but I actually never heard him speak before.
During his visit, Langston Hughes read some of his poems that celebrated the culture that African Americans had created. Others took note of the racism they endured, and some fit the category of jazz poetry, taking on the forms and themes of jazz, spirituals, and the blues.
I will read you a blues for a man to sing, and you can tell that this blues was written some years ago because it mentions the WPA. It's a Depression time blues, but it's sort of typical of one phase of subject matter in the blues, of being out of work. And this one goes like this. I walked the streets till the shoes wore off my feet. I done walked the streets till the shoes wore off my feet. I've been looking for a job so that I could eat. I couldn't find no job, so I went to the WPA. Couldn't find no job, so I went to the WPA. WPA man told me, you got to live here a year and a day. A year and a day, Lord, in this great big lonesome town. A year and a day in this great big lonesome town. I might starve for a year, but that extra day would get me down. Well, that is the mood of the blues, usually despondency, but something somewhere in the lyric that will make people laugh.
He also read this poem, looking at Jim Crow laws through the eyes of a child. It's called Merry-Go-Round.
Where is the Jim Crow section on this merry-go-round, mister? Because I want to ride. Down south where I come from, white and colored can't sit side by side. Down south on the train, there's a Jim Crow car. On the bus, we're put in the back. But there ain't no back to a merry-go-round. Where's a horse for a kid that's black?
To Demetrius Rimkus, the recording revealed an informality in Hughes's presentation, which made her think the poetry reading was not the main reason for his visit. The main reason for Hughes's visit, says Rimkus, was this one-act opera, titled Esther, by German-American composer John Meyerowitz, based on the biblical book of Esther. It had its premiere at a University of Illinois arts festival held the night before Hughes gave his poetry reading. Rimkus found a program for the festival tucked in with notes from the English professor who had introduced Hughes at the reading.
And in it mentions Esther, and very small, almost unnoticeable, says libretto, Langston Hughes. And so that was why he was there.
Langston Hughes's 1957 visit to the campus came just a few months after the end of the boycott of segregated buses in Montgomery, Alabama, and just a few months before President Eisenhower's signing of a civil rights bill that had been watered down by Southern Democrats in Congress. At his poetry reading, Langston Hughes said there had been progress on the civil rights front, but not enough.
Some of the colonial peoples that are achieving their freedom in Africa and Asia have more freedom than some of our own American, in quotes, citizens in Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. And so I think we need to move a little faster in some areas of our race relations in this country. But nevertheless, I think we can all look forward with the kind of optimism to tomorrow that I try to express in this final poem, a poem called Tomorrow. We have tomorrow bright before us like a flame. Yesterday, a night gone thing, a sundown name, and dawn today, broad arch above the road we came. We march, Americans together, we march.
For Here and Now, I'm Jim Meadows.